No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins, anybody? Let's talk about some running back options.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share this Bears YouTube channel with a fellow Bears fan. What's up, everybody? I feel like it's been a while since I've last been on here. I think the last time was after or going into day two. I actually did something on this YouTube channel. If you haven't already, you got to go check out the Biggs YouTube channel where Herb Howard and I, we recapped the Bears draft class. That video closing in on 30,000 views. So great analysis and insight from my guy Herb Howard and I. But that's where the last time I was, you know, on video talking about the Bears. But a little bit of a different week for me. So that's why I'm doing this episode. Where is it? 3:30 in the afternoon. But appreciate everybody for being here. Hey. Yo, Nick, bear down. Bear down to you as well. Appreciate it. There's been obviously a lot of talk about this Bears draft class. The talk about Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins possibly being options for the Bears. I don't know how Nick Chubb is power cling over four plates or whatever he's doing on social media. It's insane for someone who just coming off of a the gruesome leg injury, broke his foot, and now doing that. Then you have J.K. Dobbins, who is coming off one of his best years of his NFL career, and the Chargers just drafted Omarion Hampton. So kind of leaves our guy J.K. Dobbins in an interesting spot as well. But we'll get into all of that. But before we kind of get into the running back talk, I do want to discuss – actually, it's running back talk, but more specifically about the draft. And I'm just curious because I've seen so many mixed opinions on the Bears draft class. Like what you honestly feel about it. Did you like it? Did the Bears leave you unsatisfied with what they could have done? Are you mad because they didn't get a running back on day two? Or didn't trade up for Ashton Jeanty? Were you looking for that defensive end that the Bears obviously didn't get in their class? Like what, like, I'm just curious on, like, for the people who are here hanging out right now on your Tuesday afternoon. And see, I have Kevin in the chat, A-. All right. So, I mean, we get the, obviously the very positive of it. You know, Herb Howard and I, we will like, we're planning on officially grading the class towards the end of the week, but I definitely am leaning more towards this being a successful draft for Ryan Poles. And I'll give my reasons why in this episode, but that's where I'm kind of leaning. And then I'm just kind of seeing nationally too, just where other people are at, looking at the NFL Stock Exchange. If anybody watches their YouTube channel, Trevor Sikkema, Connor Rogers over there do a great job. And they've actually put grades on all 32 teams draft classes. God bless them, but higher. They definitely viewed it as a positive draft for the Bears. Got to go watch that to go see what they gave it after the show, of course. But I do feel like you know, they what Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles said, they with the board, they really let the board speak, and they honestly just kind of followed it. They followed it to the best of their ability, and this is where I kind of want to get into the trade talks with some of these running backs. Like, there was smoke about the Bears wanting to move up to go get Ashton Jeanty. I ultimately, you know, I think it was a couple hours before the draft, I didn't think the Bears would move up. They didn't, but there definitely was interest. And just there's a certain price, a certain line where you have to just, you can't go that far into draft capital to select, you know, what is going to be, I think, a really good running back for the Las Vegas Raiders and Ashton Jeanty. But there is a line. So the Bears didn't want to cross that line. And I don't fault them for that. Because, you know what, as happy as people would have probably been for Ashton Jeanty, be honest with me, if you're giving up significant capital, and it's obviously going to take your 10th overall pick, you're switching first rounders, but at least one, if not two of the second rounders this year are, how many people would have criticized Ryan Poles for that? You get your running back, but you had to give up that, right? So there's like this back and forth. I don't think Ryan Poles could have won if that trade happened. That's just my opinion on it. But then there was also in round two, right? Right before the Bears are selected to choose at 41, they kind of get sniped here with Junkins going and then Travion Henderson going right before they're about to select. So just a reminder there, you have Quinshon Junkins go at 36 to the Cleveland Browns. You have Jonah, the big guard from Arizona, go to Miami. And then you have Travion Henderson at 38 go to the New England Patriots. And Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune had a really good article today. If you haven't had a chance to read it, definitely go do so. Puts a lot of detail into the running backs, but in it, you know, there was details. There was trade discussions to move up to, you know, get one of, you know, the running back. A deal with the Tennessee Titans at number 35 felt possible until it wasn't. Titans found a better offer from the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks traded up and they got at 35, Nick Amonawori, the safety from South Carolina. So the Bears were discussing a trade-up possibility. Get in front of number 36 where Quinshon Junkins went to potentially get one of the running backs. Didn't happen. Then there was also discussion with the New England Patriots at 38. And based off of what Elliot Wolf said, which is also detailed in Dan's article, ultimately, we didn't feel the value that was being offered to us was worth possibly losing out on Travion. So we end up sending the pick in. So that's where, I mean, those two running backs go. And now if you're the Bears, you're picking at 39. You're looking at your board. Both those running backs are gone. You just take the best player on your board and Luther Burden III. And I, you know, I was never really considering Luther Burden at all, to be completely honest with you guys. I don't know how many other people were, but just given what the Bears had and also thinking back on it, like this guy was probably going to be a first rounder. And we saw how pissed he was that he wasn't a first rounder, but also grateful now that he's with the Bears. Like, you just didn't think that was an option. And so the Bears took him. And that, the first two picks in this draft, why I do like it, you're just giving more ammunition, more weapons to Caleb Williams. And there's so many different combinations of how this Bears offense can be utilized in so many different ways. And, you know, both those two guys, Burden, Colston, probably going to be playing a lot from the slot, but now there's just different versions of how you can do this. When you go 11 personnel out there, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, Cole Kmet, obviously, maybe he's not out on, or in on that play. Loveland is. And so is maybe Burden. DJ Moore gets his breather. And, you know, I got a question about this on Twitter. And, you know, I want to go find that really quick. So I just give a shout out to the person that asked this question, kind of about snap counts and why people are so I don't know, disappointed, I guess, about the Loveland burden. This is from Carlos Sanchez. So, Carlos, appreciate you submitting the question on Twitter. But, you know, I want to know why – I want to know your take on why the media keeps making the addition of Loveland burden as an indictment on Komet and the other receivers. Last I checked, four spots are available every snap, assuming one quarterback, five O-line, one running back. So if Loveland, Komet, Moore, Dunze, and Burden could play, you know, basically going to snap counts, like I was looking into it, DJ Moore was around 90% of playing, played around 90% of the offensive snaps last season, actually 93. So definitely out there for a majority of the time. But, you know, when you factor in getting a guy like Burden and still being a rookie, having to learn the system, everyone's learning the Ben Johnson system, these snap counts are going to look a lot different this year, I think. You know, DJ Moore is still one of your best football players on this team. So if he's hovering around 90, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's going to go a little bit lower. You also got to consider that Keenan Allen last year played 74% of the snaps. You're replacing that with a guy like Burden. You're also, I think, Colston Loveland is going to eat into some of those snap counts. He's going to eat into Cole Kmet snap counts, but I don't really see it as an issue. It's a good problem to have. And I think it was Mark Potash who commented, like, isn't it, it's kind of funny that we're having this discussion of like too many mouths to feed. How are you going to keep everyone on offense happy? Bears offenses, you know, in general, haven't always been happy. So now there's too many weapons to feed. That's a good problem to have. So that's why I don't mind the whole Burden Loveland picks. Yes, you already had solidified starters in both of those respective positions, but you took the best player that was on your board, even though you couldn't move up for Genty, you took Loveland, and then with Burden, you did the very similar thing where you couldn't move up to go get your running back, didn't work out, you take Burden, and then you move back. And then obviously we know, too, the Bears kind of get, you know, some unfortunate luck again after – you know, they move well in the fourth round where they're looking at maybe potential running backs because you get the kid from Virginia Tech go at 104. Scadaboo went to the Giants with the very next selection. And then, you know, you're the Bears looking at what's next. And you end up not getting a running back all the way until the seventh round, right? In what, Kyle Monagai? Actually, you can see this right here. Bears gave us these little cheat sheets here. Little Kyle Monagai. So, you know, that's just how the draft falls sometimes. It's not that the Bears didn't try, right? I mean, the Bears obviously did try. But you got to set limits, I think, in what you're trying to accomplish. You want to go move up to get a running back, it's going to cost a specific price. If you're not willing to go over that price, you're not getting your running back. But you also got to be comfortable of what you're going to get in return at the respective spots that the Bears ended up choosing at. I think the biggest... You know, so, like, you know, it ended up not happening. Bears don't get a running back. Boo-hoo. I like Travion Henderson. If the Bears would have gotten Travion Henderson, I feel even better about this draft. But I think the pick that, to me, I guess bothers me the most, and no offense, as I scroll through my little cheat sheets here, we go to that fourth-round pick, and I'm seeing it actually here in the chat. Yeah, I don't. No offense to Ruben Hippolyte, the second. Like, but the linebacker from Maryland in that spot, we got to see, man, right? And I do see it. Actually, let me pull this up, put it on the chat. DG Daniels, Hippolyte was a luxury. We should have come away with Blue or Scadaboo at the least. Yeah. I mean, this is the pick right now where. It's not like I'm counting out Ruben Hippolyte. Like the only time I met him was over Zoom, right? And then we'll get a chance to see him, talk to him in person at House Hall pretty soon. But when you make that pick, again, there wasn't a lot of reports on him about him even being, you know, in the realm of like being drafted within the, you know, first 3 days. Like some people had him unranked, but again, those are scouts that are, I don't know, like, even as respected as Dane Brugler is, it's like, these are the team scouts and this is what they view him. And, you know, for the Bears, obviously they did find value in a guy like that where they got him. In that fourth round, just so everyone's clear, you have Virginia, you have the two backs that go 104 and 105, Scadaboo and Tootin from Virginia Tech. Then you got, looking back here, Trevor Etienne. He goes 114 to the Panthers. You have Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn go 117. I mean, just a lot of running backs came off even before the Bears had a chance here. Dylan Sampson, running back from Tennessee, 126. Bears still haven't selected. And then 132, the Bears finally select Ruben Hippolyte. So, you know, maybe they're looking at that, those guys, and they got taken. And then they're like, all right, again, going back, best player available. And you know what? Hopefully Ruben Hippolyte proves a lot of people wrong, because I feel like a lot of people, including myself, are like, what are we doing here? Right? You're taking the linebacker. And it is going to be a position that I think when the Bears are in base, he's going to be someone that is competing to get on the football field, right? And you know, with the speed that he does have, what he ran at the NFL, not even scouting combine, his pro day. And of course, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I believe it was somewhere in the 4.4. Like, that's moving for a linebacker. We got to wait and see on that one, you guys. So, like, I think that was, like, my biggest, oh, okay, you're going in this direction here, when maybe there was just some other possibilities. I don't know. There's, I'm looking just like at edges. Like, there were a couple of edge rushers that went before Ruben Hippolyte was selected. I know a lot of people like, well, CJ West was already gone by that point. A couple of the edge rushers. Let's see if there's anybody. Quay Robinson, you know, didn't do much homework on him. Goes to the Broncos, edge out of Alabama. And then the round one, two, three, four, five, six players later, the round is over. So, there you go. Thank you, Daniel. 4.42. I mean, that's moving. Let's be honest. That's moving for a linebacker. He's intense. And that is something that the Bears were looking for out of that position moving forward, is to get more speed on the football field at linebacker. They definitely got it. Now we just got to see if this coaching staff can take this, you know, prospect, this draft pick, this fourth rounder, and make him into something, right? You just extended TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, last year of his contract going into this year. You know, there's going to be obviously some, those are going to be key things that I'll be watching for. And I'm sure you will too, as we're kind of evaluating this draft. And, you know, we won't know for sure until, you know, maybe at least 3 years later to see if this all pans out. But I don't have a problem with Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College. And I'm just curious how that's all going to play out. Like, is he playing right tackle? Are you moving Darnell Wright? We heard Ryan Poles' comments before the draft about Darnell Wright. And if there was something that, you know, plays out in the draft, like, what do you do there? I don't think so. I don't know if you move Darnell Wright, but here's the thing. If you're Ozzie Trapillo and you're drafted in the second round after Burton, that's a player that's looking to compete for a spot, not sit on the bench being a, you know, sitting on the bench, unless he's competing for swing tackle to start. You see how Karan and Braxton do for a season. If they don't pan out, then you put him in next season. Maybe that's a possibility, but when you invest that high of draft capital in an offensive tackle, I expect him to be competing for a spot. Brandon Thorne, who does a lot of great work for Bleacher Report, you know, he had Ozzie Trapillo as his most pro ready. I was reading the report and it said, you know, maybe can slide into guard, but at right tackle. So is this a guy, if the Bears would have had to make that projection and feel comfortable with it if he's going to move the left tackle, but just things to be thinking about. Slick sophistication. I'm glad you bring up Ian Wheeler, because we're going to be talking some running backs in the second half of the show. Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins, who I think are the people, the players that Bears fans are focusing on right now, as they, you know, probably should be. But we'll bring up Ian Wheeler. Let's bring up the whole running back room in a good discussion for the second half of this show. But before we get there, you guys, as always, have to tell everybody about my friends at Windy City Sports Cards. I'm actually rocking, you know, a cool shirt. You know, collect more sports cards. You should. It's cool. But at Windy City Sports Cards, they specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. So whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to those Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. So visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. And you can check them out at 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. That's 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. And, of course, everybody who watches the Nicholas Morgano Show, and I appreciate the people that are here in the live chat right now having a discussion on these running backs. I have to tell everybody about my friends at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville. It's a one-stop shop for all your needs. And what I mean by that, you got your sales, you got your service, you got your parts, you got your body shop. It's all available at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, located at 1050 South Milwaukee Avenue in Libertyville, Illinois. The team prides themselves on their service, winning dealership of the year twice. So check out their website at NapletonCadillacLibertyville.com to see all their new and pre-owned vehicles, including the new all-EV Cadillac Lyric. It is a sweet-looking ride. Also, subscribe to their YouTube channel to view more of their vehicles, which you can find in the description below, everybody. And Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, it's your one-stop shop for all your needs. All right, everybody. This is the Nicholas Morgano Show. Please like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share this YouTube channel with a fellow Bears fan. But let's talk about these running backs. And we can start from the top with DeAndre Swift. Obviously, we have Roschon Johnson. We had Ian Wheeler's name drop in the chat from Darius Morgan. Right here. Obviously, you got your guy, Kyle Manungai, from Rutgers, who, you know, it's interesting with him. Usually seventh-round draft picks, they're seventh-round draft picks. Let's be completely honest. But I think it was Kevin Fishbane who put out a tweet, like something along the lines of, you're seeing a lot of praise for him. I saw his tweet, and then I kid you not, I'm seeing like Matt Bowen tweet about Kyle Manungai. I see the guys that I referenced earlier on the NFL Stock Exchange. They are talking about Kyle Manungai as somebody that can fit that David Montgomery role. So it is weird to see, I don't even just this publicity for a seventh round draft pick, and maybe that speaks to the running back class as a whole, that this was a deep class and you get one, you know, obviously someone who had a lot of success last season at Rutgers, but it was just interesting seeing that. And somebody in 2024, 256 attempts, 1,279 yards, 13 touchdowns. Like, this is a guy that obviously had a lot of success at Rutgers. Two-time All Big Ten selection, first team in 2024. A lot of production there. And so we know that the Bears were at least interested in moving up for running backs. And they, you know, I think the right word, settle, had to settle, were forced to settle, if you want to phrase it that way, for a guy like Kyle Manungai. And that's why there's this whole discussion right now about Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins as being potential possibilities for the Chicago Bears, because they came away with a, you know, day three, round seven running back to add to a room with DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, Ian Wheeler. So I completely understand the reasoning, the want to explore veteran running back options. But I also want to just bring up, like, the fact that this offensive line that was brought in to help keep Caleb Williams upright so he doesn't get sacked 68 times in his second year in the NFL is also here help DeAndre Swift become a more efficient, productive back. Like, we can't forget about that. He ran behind that same offensive line that was also pass blocking for Caleb Williams.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
He was also running behind that same offensive line that was, you know, having plays being called from Shane Waldron and then Thomas Brown. And, you know, like different versions. I mean, it was just a lot of variations, a lot of change going on for both everybody on offense, to be completely honest, everybody on offense. So I think it would be a little naive to not expect a better version of DeAndre Swift in 2025. Am I wrong for saying that? I don't think I am, right? Like, before DeAndre Swift, you know, signed his contract to be with the Bears, he had a career year with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, if you kind of dive a little bit deeper into the stats, you know, 1,000-yard rusher, but still maybe not as efficient as you would like to be, but still more productive than he was with the Bears offensive line. So, and I'm not trying to say that the Bears offensive line now is what the Eagles were 2 years ago or even last year, but it is improved. And so when you factor that in there, the additions on the offensive line, but also, which is going to be huge, Eric Bieniemy now being the running backs coach, just some of the things that maybe DeAndre Swift was getting away with last season, I just don't see that being reoccurring issues. As you know, and if it is, then you're going to see other running backs get playing time, I would think. But if DeAndre Swift is making a mistake, you best believe a guy like Eric Bieniemy is going to be on his ass to correct that mistake. So you got to factor those into the equation as well when you're thinking about the Bears rushing attack. But even if, you know, those are a given, I still understand the reasoning for looking at wanting to look at veteran options like a Nick Chubb and a J.K. Dobbins. Apologize. Really quickly, I do see a super chat right here. After FA and the draft, are we closer? Free agency and the draft. Are we closer to taking the North? Bear down. Bear emoji. Football. Peace. Green Whitfield. Ooh, great question. Are we closer to taking the North? It's I mean, you're definitely closer, right? How are you not? How are you not closer with what the additions that the Bears have made? I mean, this offseason has been incredible for Caleb Williams. Incredible for what he's got on the offensive line and the weapons that he does have. I still honestly want to go and see a little bit more of, you know, all these drafts collectively and see how much every team in the NFC North has improved. See a little bit more. I got to do a deeper dive, honestly, but they're definitely closer. There's no way that they're not. And it's, you know, factor in Ben Johnson's scheme also with this. Like I talk about the additions on the line, Eric Bieniemy. Oh, Ben Johnson too. Right. And I loved his quote about holding, you know, if you want the ball, he's going to be looking at how your running back side, also, you know, how you're blocking, all that stuff. Love it. Accountability. So it's definitely going to be a factor. But let's really quickly, Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins. You know, I also got a question about who fits better, what's going to be better for this offense. Here's the easy way out. Whoever's going to be more available, right? That's going to be completely honest. Because I don't know at this point in time with Nick Chubb, and we're seeing all the workout videos he's posting. Obviously, the Browns, what, they drafted two running backs, Junkins being the one in the second round. But is he ever going to be the Nick Chubb that ran for 1,525 yards and carried the ball 300 plus times and scored 12 rushing touchdowns in 2022? Probably not, right? Like, that's just, I think it would be foolish to say that he's going to be that version of himself again, especially a guy that only played two games in 2023 and then eight games in 2024 after he broke his foot, with that being the latest injury that he's dealing with. And we all saw the gruesome leg injury that he suffered in the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it would be, I think, foolish to say he's going to be that version. But can you get a guy that you can't say reliable at this point, but someone that if the Bears were to bring in someone like Nick Chubb, could he fit this scheme? I think he could, especially, you know, the experience that he has, but also, like, he knows what it takes to be a good running back, meaning that he's not going to look to bounce things outside. He's someone that's very, I think, comfortable running between the tackles, picking up what he should be picking up on certain plays. So he could do that. It's just, I don't, you know, with all the injuries, lower body injuries, it does scare me a little bit, but I wouldn't be completely opposed to Nick Chubb. The right deal, knowing that it is going to be a running back by committee, you would have Swift, you know, Monagai, obviously factoring in there. He has to, you know, it's a seventh round draft pick. You have to make the team first. I do feel like that's going to be the case for him. But, you know, if I was saying, if we were talking about seventh round draft picks, literally for any other position, we'd be like, is this guy making the team? Like, there's been a lot of seventh round draft picks that Ryan Poles has had, and they haven't made the team. So it's not, nothing's guaranteed, but I just feel, I think everybody does feel really good that not only is he going to make the team, but he should be someone that can find a way to contribute for this Bears offense. Then you got J.K. Dobbins, right? He's coming off of his most productive year in the NFL with his 905 rushing yards. He also factored in, he caught 32 passes, 153 yards, no touchdowns there, but nine rushing touchdowns. So he's coming off a productive year with the Chargers. And like I said earlier, they just drafted Omarion Hampton. Could he fit? I think he could. He's also, what, a year removed? And that was in 2023 from the, was it a knee injury? Was it Achilles? I want to make sure I have this right. The Achilles, the torn Achilles, which he suffered in against the Baltimore Ravens in week one. But had career highs last year, did some good things for the Chargers. And he actually finished second in the NFL in the player of the year, comeback player of the year voting behind Joe Burrow. So he was never going to win that as quarterback. But, you know, they have Najee Harris now. They draft Omarion Hampton. So you kind of have to, I mean, you see the writing on the wall there. But they did, and ESPN wrote an article about not only J.K. Dobbins, but wide receiver Elijah Moore. They received the unrestricted free agent tender. And so what this is, I'm just going to read verbatim so I don't butcher this, but so both players will apply to the compensatory draft formula for the 2026 draft if they sign with another team before July 22nd. If they do not sign with another team before that date, the Chargers and Browns will then hold their exclusive negotiating rights. The tender value is worth 110% of the player's previous year's salary, according to the collective bargaining agreement. For Dobbins, the tender is worth approximately $1.1 million. So that's what it means. They'll get a compensatory pick, you know, if they sign elsewhere. But that's kind of, that's where their situation is with J.K. Dobbins. So to answer the question, which one would I prefer? I think I would go with J.K. Dobbins, given that he was healthy coming off his best year. You know, after the Achilles tear, you see the year that he has with the Los Angeles Chargers. So I think I would lean that route. But if the Bears did end up signing Nick Chubb to, you know, 1 year contract, obviously not a lot of money backed into that, I think it would be something that you can find the reasoning why the Bears would make that move. But you just don't know what you're going to get with all the, like I said, some serious lower leg injuries. And I mean, even going back to his time in Georgia, like this, and that's, you know, DeAndre Swift and Nick Chubb overlap for a time there. So they would have some chemistry with each other, but you know, you just don't want to like have these hopes. Oh, you do have Nick Chubb, and then boom, you know, something ends up happening there. I would rather of those two, if I had to choose of the two, I would go J.K. Dobbins. So, but to me, I'm still for I'm pretty sure I've been pretty open about it. Like talking about DeAndre Swift, I've been a little bit higher on him than maybe some other people. And again, I'm factoring all the things that I talked about, and I don't even need to rehash him at this point. But you know, when you have better coaching, better players in front, accountability, and just a better scheme and more weapons even on the outside, you should be able to do some better things as a running back in this offense. So that does excite me about the possibilities of what DeAndre Swift can be, you know, in Ben Johnson's scheme. Obviously, Ben Johnson and Swift have overlapped their time in Detroit. But we have to see. We'll have to see if they end up making more moves. But I think that room maybe could surprise some people, honestly. Yeah, they didn't get Ashton Jeanty. They didn't get Travion Henderson. Maybe we're looking at Cam Scadaboo. I don't know if they even considered my guy, Caleb Johnson. Disappointing. But yeah, maybe this room can actually surprise some people. And like I said on one of the other shows, just because they don't have maybe the quality of backs that Ben Johnson had in Detroit, it doesn't mean that they can't be productive. But also, Ben Johnson didn't have the quality group of tight ends, I think, collectively, that he does now have in Chicago with Kmet and Lovell. And even the wide receiver group now, too. I mean, I know you had Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's a good duo to have, but DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden III. I mean, I would put that trio, even though relatively young with the Odunze and Burden, you put that trio with a lot of other teams in the NFL. Like, who? I can't even honestly think at the top of my head a trio that can really eclipse that. I mean, the first guys that I'm thinking about is like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. That's two. I don't even know who their third wide receiver is at this point. I think of a lot of duos, but trios, I don't know. So that's a good group to have, and one that you can use in a lot of different ways. So it should be an exciting type of, it's not a problem. It's not a problem to have too many weapons. It's an exciting asset to have if you're Ben Johnson. And if all these guys are competing the way they are, like all these guys are going to at different point in times be some of the primary reads, giving out matchups, you're just giving more looks to a defense and how they can potentially defend against an offense that does have a lot of weapons now. So I like that problem to have. All right, really quickly, you guys, in the headline too, I put like Bears Packers rivalry, and people are like, what the hell does that mean? There's a clip going around, and I want to make sure that you guys can actually hear this because I don't, I'm going to share my screen here, but it's from Bussin' with the Boys, Tyler Luan, Will Compton, their podcast. They had, Matt LaFleur on the show, and I thought it was a pretty funny clip. So we're going to get this on here. Let me know if you can hear this. If not, there are some subtitles on there, so I guess we'll play it anyway, but it does make it a little intriguing with the Bears-Packers rivalry and, what can end up happening. But I'm sure you guys can see my screen. I'm just sharing my Twitter here. But here is the clip. Let me know. Just give me a thumbs up, even in the chat, if you can hear this, just so you can hear this clip and what was said here from Matt LaFleur on Bussin' with the Boys with Tyler Luan and Will Compton.
Do you have beef with Coach Johnson?
I was waiting for this. I don't know Ben Johnson.
So do you have beef?
Do I have beef? I don't know Ben Johnson. I respect him as a football coach. He did a nice job.
Yeah, but do we not feel the same thing right now?
Yeah.
But if you don't know him, why is it tight in here?
It's not tight. I'm not tight. I thought it was interesting.
What was interesting?
Okay, it's echoing. Okay, appreciate it. Sorry about it. So it played like almost 30 seconds. Can hear it, but with a little delay. Again, it was just it's kind of a funny clip. Matt LaFleur being asked, do you have beef with Ben Johnson? And actually, I can stop sharing my screen here. And he's like, I don't know Ben Johnson. And what he also references in the clip is that he thought it was interesting that, you know, he got brought up in Ben Johnson's introductory press conference where Ben Johnson was like, and you know what? I kind of enjoyed being Matt LaFleur and the Packers twice a year. And you know what? I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Even though the Bears need to make sure they do their part and obviously make this rivalry a rivalry, right? So it needs to, for the Bears, they just need to continue doing, you know, obviously building up this team. They did so with this draft. Caleb Williams needs to take that next step. But when you see a little bit of, like, even the Matt LaFleur there, and we know Ben Johnson and, like, the intensity that he brings. Like, it is evident. Like, coaches are talking about it. Players are talking about it. His quote about finding the environment to make all the pass catchers happy. Well, you know what? There is no depth chart. You need to compete. You need to be, if you're not the main progression in the route, you better be running, you know, backside. So then you can get the ball. And then also turning the dial up a couple notches. I believe that's how he said it. But you know what I mean? Turning up the notches for a couple of the players. A lot of people in the comments thought that was directed towards DJ Moore. Maybe it is. Maybe it's, who knows? But I like this. The Bears need to, they can't be afraid of their NFC North rivals anymore. They need to go out there and start making things at least an even playing field. Splitting with the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings. They only did so, you know, against Green Bay. So that needs to start equaling out a little bit more. And if that takes the coaches talking a little bit, and Matt LaFleur said, like, he's not all about that. He doesn't really tune into that. I don't know. It just seems like there is a lot of anticipation about what this division is going to look like this upcoming season for years to come now. Because the Bears are, whether some people want to admit it or not, they've made moves. They made some serious moves on offense to improve the chances of Caleb Williams succeeding. Defensively, like, obviously they've added guys on the defensive line. You know, Grady Jarrett, Dio Dangbo. I didn't mention Shamar Turner in this draft. Someone that I think is also going to get a major. He's gonna be a factor in this this upcoming season. Because when you look at even the snap counts from last year, you guys, and it'll be interesting how they even use him. I mean, he played on the edge, Texas A&M. They moved him inside, but I think he's got a little bit of versatility in his game. But even if you look at the snap counts, Jervon Dexter played about 57.7% of the snaps last year. Andrew Billings went down due to injury after the Arizona game, so he only played 27.9%. But then you had guys like Chris Williams, 34.4%. Byron Coart, 31.4%. You're not going to see those guys, obviously. I think Chris Williams is still on the team, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, you're entering Shamar Turner into the equation. You're entering in Grady Jarrett into the equation. So there's a lot more, you know, possibilities with, I think, better caliber players. And Shamar Turner, like I was just mentioning, he's going to get playing time. And if he can bring that violence that he talked about so much when he was drafted, he'll find a way to get onto the football field. He definitely will. Darius Morgan, Shamar, I really like. He's got like this. I never got a chance to cover Akeem Hicks, but it kind of feels like there's like this, that energy, if you know what I'm saying. Like there's that upbeat, like Grady Jarrett, honestly. That's where it is. Like Shamar Turner gives off that Grady Jarrett energy. And if he can start producing, that makes it all that much better. I feel like he's going to be, you know, a good guy to talk to in the locker room. Oh, we got Coconut Pete. Who else thinks this is our 4,000-yard year? I mean, how is it not, right? Like, with all the weapons, all the upgrade, and you know what? The main thing that it that could prevent that is maybe knowing and understanding the offense, and it maybe it's a slower part of the year, but maybe towards the back half of the end, or even like second half, you start to see Caleb light it up. I don't know. But if Caleb, these wide receivers, tight ends, running back, all these weapons can get a good understanding of what this offense is and how to operate it. I mean, guys, Caleb Williams threw for 3,541 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, in an offense that was first led by Shane Waldron. Then, I mean, Shane Waldron, Thomas Brown, like, come on. I think there is a possibility that this could happen for the Bears. You know, of course, injuries, things like that. But Darius, yes, to 4K. We like 4K. Not only the quality of the picture, but in your quarterback and passing yards. That'd be great. That would be great. Oh. Eric Bochan, I think they found that guy in Jonathan Ford, who they poached. That's right. Yep. Jonathan Ford is also on the team as well. He was playing in week 18 against the Green Bay Packers. So I think it's going to be fun, you guys, but I did want to get on here because, again, I felt like I haven't been on my own show in a little bit. So, like I said, I'm kind of dealing with a different schedule. It might look very similar tomorrow, to be completely honest. So definitely we'll try to reach out to some guests to get on here to get their perspective on the Bears draft and, you know, just kind of keep things going. There'll be mini camps in the meantime. And, you know, obviously, want to be there. So if I can be there, I'll be there. But yeah, just make sure that, you know, if you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Still building this thing up, baby. We got to keep going. We're closing in on some milestones here. So make sure to tell a fellow Bears fan about this channel. Leave a like on this show and any of the previous shows. Leave a comment. How would you? Again, I think Herb Howard and I were trying to get a day here to grade the draft officially. But like I said, I personally like this draft, maybe a little bit more than some people, even though there are definitely things you can point out that didn't go right or that could have gone differently. But I still overall liked that you got weapons for Caleb Williams. You put depth on the offensive line, not only with going to my sheets here. Not only with your guy, Ozzie Trapillo, who, I mean, when you look at this baby face Trapillo, but you got depth with your defensive line, Shamar Turner, Ruben Hippolyte, prove people wrong, my man, prove people wrong. Zay Frazier, I really like, actually. He is competitive as hell. I'm actually going to watch more games actually, there's a thing game against Texas where he goes up against the Packers first-round draft pick, Golden. So, see how he did there. I think he actually performed really well. And then I'd even talk about Luke Newman. Center depth, inside. So, I think when you look at it that way, they did some good things. DG Daniels. Trapillo is a 6'8 baby. Yes, he is. A giant baby. A giant baby face. Giant person. Eric Bochan, if you get an opportunity to ask Olin what he thinks of Ozzie to left tackle. Yeah, I can definitely ask. I'm also going to ask some other people that I have in mind, too, about Trapillo moving and just kind of seeing where he could fit in, right? And that's why I think it'll be really important to monitor where some of these players line up, not only in rookie minicamp, but obviously veteran minicamp, when it's mandatory, voluntary, training camp, as you know. So it's going to be going to be a fun time, and I think it's going to be exciting time just to see how everything kind of plays out with all these new additions to the Bears football team. But that's going to do it for this episode, you guys. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Random time, Tuesday afternoon, but you guys are the best, so I appreciate all of you. I'll be back tomorrow, do another show. I would say plan on later in the afternoon, like similar to today, just given the new schedule that I'm kind of working with this week, but I'll let people know if you see me at 11 a.m. or probably won't be 11, but maybe early, then you know that I will be coming on later for Wednesday. But appreciate everybody. Everyone enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, Adios, Bears fans.
Bend over to your right.
What the f- was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.